right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, it is sort of a lost episode. I dug for treasure and I came up with our talk about Uncharted, the live action attempt at creating a movie based on the classic video game series for PlayStation. This time starring Tom Holland as Nathan Drake. Very strange choice. But the movie was a hit, and supposedly we're going to be getting sequels, and it just hit Netflix, and so that's why we're finally getting around to releasing this thing. It's been sitting on the Patreon for a while, which, by the way, if you really like Piecing It Together and you want to support what we're doing, check out the Produced by David Rosen Patreon. Lots of bonus content, advanced content from both Piecing It Together and Awesome Movie Year, as well as my music career. So patreon.com/bydavidrosen. Maybe subscribe. But yeah, this episode, I didn't have like a spot to release it when it was still in theaters. And then when it came out on like the 1999 rental thing, I was going to release it then. And I had like three or four back-to-back episodes, didn't have a spot for it then. It came out on regular rental, didn't have a spot for it then. It's on Netflix this week. Boom. I finally have a moment to release it. Plus, I'm getting over COVID, so I haven't really gotten a chance to record any new episodes this past week. So the stars aligned, and you're going to get to hear my talk about Uncharted with returning guest TJ Cross, one of my oldest friends. He's been on the show a few times in the past, and I'm happy to have him back with me talking about this movie that we both looked forward to for many years, even though as big fans of the game, we were quite worried that it wouldn't turn out too well. And moving on. If you like what we do here on Piecing It Together, make sure you're subscribed wherever you listen to podcasts, rate and review us. We really appreciate that. And follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. So let's talk about Uncharted. All right. Well, my buddy TJ Cross, he promised that he would be here to talk Uncharted with me when the movie finally came out. And here he is. TJ, how's it going?
It's going really well. How about yourself?
I'm all right. I'm recording.
I mimicked you because I've been seeing a lot of films in the theater lately. Like, I finally have been like, okay, I need to go back to the theater. And like, for this Uncharted, it was like literally the first film I've gone to a theater in a bit.
Yeah.
And oh man, it was so good. Like, I was so happy to be in a theater. Not so much about the movie, but I was just so happy to be in a theater. I had my my go-to is the cookie dough, you know, and some popcorn, and I got an icy, and like, I was just like sitting there, and I was like, this, wow, I've missed this so much. And it was packed at like a 4 p.m. on a Thursday, which blew my mind.
Yeah, our screening was pretty packed too, and I'm very excited about that. As you know, going into this, and we'll talk about this plenty throughout the conversation, but you know, big fan of Uncharted, of course. Not a big fan of Tom Holland. I'm also not a big fan of Ruben Fleischer, the director. I'm also not really a big fan of Mark Wahlberg. So, like, there's a lot of things like going against this movie where I just did not think it was going to be successful. But opening weekend was huge. The theater was packed, and everybody was having a great time. So, you know, I'm happy when movies are doing good.
So am I. And it's also, it was one of those movies that, I don't know if it happened with your audience, but people were like hooting and hollering a bit, which was kind of cool to like, you know, a couple laughs here and there, a couple like claps. It was kind of cool to experience that again, because it's been a while.
Yeah, there was a couple of good moments like that. And you should have gone back for Jackass if you wanted people hooting and hollering, because that was the most fun experience I've had in a theater in so long. But this was a good one too, though. Yeah. Let's start off really quick before we start getting into puzzle pieces. Back in the first like month, I think, or first couple of months of Piecing It Together, you and I discussed the Uncharted fan film with Nathan Fillion.
That's right.
That was, I barely even remember it. That's so long ago. That's like ancient history at this point. But we discussed how much we love this series of games and how excited we were for that film and how excited we were for the prospect of there eventually being an Uncharted film. I guess I might as well just ask you, like, have you played the games recently? Have you gone back, like, with this movie coming out? Did you, like, kind of, like, get in the spirit? Did you go back and play them or anything?
That's really interesting that you asked that. Yes and no. So I have the, what is it, the Uncharted Collection or whatever, like, the 1 through 3, the remasters or whatever they did a few years ago on the PlayStation. And I did pop around 1, 2, and 3, just like a little bit. I didn't really play the full games, but I just wanted to get in the feel of it. And if I wasn't a dad and an adult and didn't had more time, I would have played them again. Like, they're just so good. And so, well, I don't want to get too far into it, but I think that actually playing those games before seeing the movie affected my view of the movie more strongly than like maybe like a nostalgic view would have. You know, like but I don't want to get too far into it right now, but I will say that the games I love, those are my favorite games of all time. So I love them. I remember you have a friend, I don't know if he's ever been on here, but Will, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your friend Will used to, I remember him making fun of us because we loved those games so much back in early like 2000s. And he'd be like, but those games are just movies. I remember him saying that to me. And it's just, it's so interesting because in a quick summation of this whole thing, I felt like the games were better movies than the movie. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. And I think that's absolutely fair. And I agree. Like, I would probably put, you know, the Marios and the Zeldas like above this, but number 3 would be Uncharted. It's the best non-Nintendo franchise as far as I'm concerned of all gaming. And I did not go back and replay them. Although when I eventually, I actually do have a PlayStation 5. It's still sitting in the shipping box because I do not have time to play video games. It's ridiculous. But when I hook it up one day, the first thing I'm going to play is not going to be a PlayStation 5 game. It will be that remastered collection of the Uncharted games because I have been wanting to go back and replay them. They're so good.
They are so good. They're fantastic.
So this movie, a mixed bag, we should say. We'll get into what we thought of it. I know you seem to think that you're going to surprise me with some of your thoughts. So I'm very interested to get to some of that along the way. But I've got some puzzle pieces here. I'm sure you got some there. We'll get into all of the other things we think about the movie and about how successful it was at adapting the games along the way. But what do you have for your first piece?
So my first puzzle piece will be Tomb Raider Cradle of Life.
Okay.
That is the sequel, Tomb Raider.
Oh,
and the reason for that is Tomb Raider and Uncharted obviously are inspired by Indiana Jones. I mean, that's just, you know, the games were, you know, they're very much inspired by Indiana Jones. And it is a series of movies that were put together by action pieces, not story. So that's the relation for me between Tomb Raider Cradle of Life and Uncharted. They were built around action pieces, not so much the story that goes into the action pieces. The action piece then will provide the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, with that being said, how do you feel about these action pieces? Because a lot of them are taken like directly from the game, it seems like.
I mean, outside of some, I don't want to say cheap CGI, but CGI that just didn't ring true to me. Because, I mean, some of the things are just so over the top that obviously your mind is like, no, that's fake, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the one that's not like a spoiler, but, you know, that's been in all the trailers is the cargo, the plane with all the cargo flying out and the car coming out and stuff like that. It just didn't, how do I say it, like, look right? You know, it just didn't, it wasn't like so cheap. It just didn't look right. It just didn't, it looked, and I don't know if the intention there was to be gamey looking, because that also happened in Cradle of Life. Now, Cradle of Life is an older movie with less technology, and it was just sort of in the beginnings of CGI. But it's the vibe I got. I got this, like, cheapy action CGI kind of vibe. And that's sort of what I felt when I saw Uncharted and the action scenes. But they are great action sequences. It's just I thought they looked a little cheapy.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough for sure. I'll go with my first piece, which it's interesting you brought up Tomb Raider Cradle of Life, because I specifically was thinking of the more recent Alicia Vikander Tomb Raider adaptation. So I'm going with another Tomb Raider here. I agree with you. Like, this does seem to be built a lot around those action sequences. But the one story element that they really kind of take from the games and drive home is the kind of flashbacks to a family member. In this case, Nathan's brother, which is a big part of what kind of drives the story here, aside from those action set pieces and all the memories of the brother and the postcards from the brother that kind of like set him on his way through going through this big adventure. And in that recent Tomb Raider, it was the father. But it was all set up in a very similar way. It was this family member who I haven't seen in years, either abandoned or he might have died or I just don't know. But his presence is still there and is helping me through the journey.
So not to stay on this too long, but I am curious because I did think about this. Obviously, it was one that just kind of popped out to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the issue I had there was I felt like that, and you played the newer Tomb Raider games, right? Or at least one of them, I think. You played the initial one, I think.
Yeah, I played the first of like the reboots. And yes. Did I play the second one? I might have played the second, because there's been three, I believe.
Well, my point is, I feel like it was more true to the story of that game, that movie,
right,
versus this. Right. So I think that's what got in my way. But you bring up great points, because that is a really good connection with the postcards and the father in the past. That is very true. So I think that's a really good one, Dave.
Yeah. And yeah, absolutely, starting this thing off with Tomb Raider. I thought, you know, maybe there was a chance, you know, before seeing the movie that we'd just be talking about Indiana Jones the whole time. And while Indiana Jones will, you know, run through a lot of, you know, various aspects of this conversation, I do think Tomb Raider is the one to kick it off with.
I agree.
So what do you got next?
So, and I know we're going to probably like do a summary of like the movie at the end here, but National Treasure: Book of Secrets.
Nice.
Another National Treasure sequel.
Yeah, I do you're think going National Treasure.
Well, okay. So my trend here is that I think National Treasure, the first one, is actually a very good movie. Mm. Like, I actually think for what it is, an action adventure, you know, more Da Vinci Code-esque, more look than Indiana Jones. But
sure.
I think National Treasure is a fantastic movie. Book of Secrets, I always felt like fell off a little bit, but I think the characterization of the leads were similar. And this is what I meant about summarizing the movie later, but I felt like Tom Holland's interpretation of Drake isn't Drake from the video game at all. And I got a much similar vibe and tonality to why is it slipping my mind? The lead, Cage's character, I forget the name.
Yeah, I can't remember what Cage's character
I can't remember his name. I should have probably written that down. But Cage's character, lead, I got the same vibe. It was like literally popped in my head while I was watching Uncharted. I was like, wow, yes, he's younger. Yes, he's smaller. Yes, we all think Nick Cage is the god actor versus Holland. But I thought the characterization was somewhat similar in the way he went about finding the clues and the treasure. I thought that was very similar to National Treasure: Book of Secrets.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That makes total sense. By the way, Benjamin Franklin Gates.
That's right, because he's related.
What a great
That's right.
name.
That's right.
What
it's
a
fantastic.
Great name.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. I got to rewatch those movies sometime, especially the first one, like you said, is so definitely good. The better of them. But yeah, fantastic. And I don't really remember the sequel, but I can totally see any of those movies really like being a part of what inspired this. For
I
sure.
feel like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. How about you?
I was going to do this one a little later, but since you were just talking about what to me is the biggest problem with this movie, and look, I get it. Tom Holland is a huge box office draw. He is what the kids, quote unquote, what they love, I guess. And what he does makes money. And so I understand why they cast him. And he does have a certain kind of appeal for sure. But for my next piece, I'm going with Spider-Man.
I knew it.
Because he's literally just Spider-Man. He's Peter Parker. And it's really a problem. I made a joke in my Letterboxd review. I said that he's Peter Parkour. Because he's just Peter Parker just running and jumping off of things. He's got like a little bit of a stiff upper lip, and that's how he tries to make himself seem like he's not 14 years old. That's basically it. And I get it. The Spider-Man movies are hugely successful. He is great at playing Spider-Man. No question. I would not take that away from him at all. He's one of, if not the best Spider-Man portrayals, but he's not Nathan Drake. And that is, I would say, the biggest problem with this movie. A lot of the other stuff that happens in it works really well.
That is fantastic. And it's a good lead into my next puzzle piece, actually, because it kind of relates to what you're saying. Now, it's not Spider-Man, but that's a great one. It's actually the 2002 Guy Pearce work, The Time Machine.
Oh, okay.
A Jules Verne time machine, right? And here's why. This one's a little bit of a play outside the box of your usual puzzle piece. Mm-hmm. But it's exactly to what you spoke of. My biggest issue with the film was like, if this was called Random Action Movie 127, this would be like a solid C+ to me.
Right.
However, it's called Uncharted. And if you're a fan, you come in with a certain expectation of what all the characters are like. And not a single character, in my opinion, outside of maybe Chloe, was at all relatable to the characters in those games. That was like, you know, I not to get off a tangent, but like video games get harped for like, you know, video game stories, right? And they're really hard to translate to film. Uncharted, yeah, the story is kind of like whatever, but the characters in that game are actually quite good, and the interactions between them are actually really lovely. Yeah. And so the reason I'm saying Guy Pearce's Time Machine is, if you know anything about the works, I'm getting a little nerdy here, it is so not the characterization of the books at all. It is so far Hollywoodized, you know, out there, where it's just like, for whatever reason, they made that character paper thin, even though in the books it's really deep. And that's kind of how I felt what happened with Uncharted. So for me, it's for another reason, I don't know why, but it just popped in my head. I was like, Time Machine, I was watching a movie, and I was like, there's just, it's not the same character as the book, and Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg are not playing Sully and Drake from the games at all. The most Drake thing in that whole movie was Nolan North's little cameo on the beach.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
the most Drake thing in that movie.
That was awesome.
That was a great line, by the way. You picked up on that when he was like, right? He's like, yeah, happy to me too.
Loved it. That was fantastic. Really great little Easter egg. But that's a fun piece. I like that. And by the way, The Time Machine, one of the few books I have read, just because, you know, I'm not a big reader.
Nice, dude. But well, not to get off, but why? How'd that happen? Was it a school thing?
I don't
remember. Did it?
Yeah, I don't remember. Like 20 years ago, I was like, I'm going to read The Time Machine. And
do you remember liking it or not?
Read The Time Machine. Yeah, I liked it a lot. It was freaking bizarre and awesome. And nice. The movie was okay, I guess.
Obviously, the story doesn't match anything that Uncharted. It's more about like the decharacterization for me.
Right, exactly. Yeah, just taking the basic premise and just kind of just doing whatever you want with it, because they're not really trying to connect it perfectly. So my next piece will continue that a little bit, I think, because I am going to go kind of in a genre more so than any one particular movie, although you could definitely speak to specific movies within this, but it's Jackie Chan films. I guess you could specifically maybe bring up Police Story as an example of a really good one that connects here, but a lot of the action involves Tom Holland basically like falling from things, grabbing things at the last second, swinging around, like just in the nick of time, landing and grabbing another thing that falls, and all these like kind of Rube Goldberg style stunts, and very Jackie Chan action comedy-esque, and very fun, but as we're talking about here, not exactly Nathan Drake.
That's a really good one, man. Wow. Yeah, that's very true. That's exactly how I love that.
And it's a lot of fun to watch too, like
it is.
The whole sequence in the auction house and the whole sequence on the floating pirate ships, all that is fun. It's very, very fun. It's just like, that's not exactly like, there is one scene towards the end when you first find the pirate ships where he gets ready to climb the pirate ship, and he gets ready and he jumps up and finds a foothold and he's like, you know, climbing, and you're like, now that is what Nathan Drake does in the video game. You spend a lot of time climbing things.
One hand falling off, push the button, hang on. Yeah. Then
that's a good one. Drake.
Yeah.
Where
yeah,
they
yeah.
came up with the idea that the idea of Nathan Drake is that he's constantly falling off of stuff. I'm not quite sure, but Jackie Chan always did it really awesomely, and I would say Tom Holland does it well. It's just not the right thing necessarily.
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
Right on. What do you got next?
So the next one, it's funny, we're all leading into each other really well here, because you're talking about pirate ships. It's the Goonies.
Yeah. Nice.
So the Goonies stuck out to me, and not just because of the pirate ship, but that pirate ship did remind me of the pirate ship in the Goonies.
Sure.
It was because of the, I guess we would... no pun intended, but puzzle pieces. The puzzles literally in the film that he had to solve reminded me very much of the Goonies journey. From like the skull thing to like fitting stuff inside of things and turning it to like, you know, underwater to like that, you know, the whole drowning thing and the sewer system and all that kind of stuff, that very much reminded me of the Goonies and the ridiculousness of sort of the plot line and the treasure on the ship. It just all like, it just screamed Goonies to me. Now, Goonies is an amazing movie, by the way. I just saw it a few months ago and was like, wow, I love that movie. But Goonies, really just the way the puzzles are and the way the adventure unfolds was very similar to me.
I like that. Yeah, that's a fun one. And It is, you know, it's a very kind of like kid-friendly adventure. I noticed one thing that actually made me laugh out loud when, and of course, everybody coming to this podcast knows we do get into spoilers here, so spoil away. But when Antonio Banderas gets his throat slit, it's literally a line of blood and no leaking blood whatsoever.
I know.
I'm like, wow, this is the most PG movie, like, ever.
By the way, he's the man, by the way.
He's great.
Like, he is great. And I was so mad that he died, actually, because I was like, I could have used more Antonio Banderas in this movie. I thought he can do everything with nothing. Like, he's great. You know, he didn't have a lot to work with, frankly. And he, like, still made his character interesting and fun. And actually, that actually ties into the Goonies just really quick. So I know in the Goonies, there's a more defined villain, right? It's the woman and her kids. Like, those are kind of the defined villains. You know, the antagonist of that whole thing is really getting through to the end and finding the treasure in the Goonies. And one thing I thought was kind of wishy-washy with this movie was like, and also like, I know that she's kind of the main villain, and Antonio Banderas was for a minute, but it also, the antagonist didn't really work in this film for me. Mm-hmm. You know, like I felt like there was like a kind of an undefined villain. Like I know she's on camera. I know she's the one chasing him. I know she's killing people. I know it's the revenge plot. You killed my brother, blah, 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 blah. But I don't know. To me, it never felt like there was a defined, solid villainous presence, I guess.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. And it's sort of the same thing in the Goonies. It really wasn't about, I guess it's what I'm saying is it really wasn't about the villains. It was more about getting to the treasure, right? That was all it was all about.
Yeah. You know? The villains are more of just like a pain in the ass on like on their way to get to the treasure, but it's never really about them. And you kind of wonder, they took so much like from the games, or at least tried to be true to the games. Like, why not take villains from the games as well? Like,
yeah. Well, to your point, they took action pieces from every game and they just sort of smushed
little
it together,
bits and
right?
Pieces. Yeah. So my next one, and real quick, actually, before we get to my next piece, remember the Goonies 2 video game on Nintendo?
Best video game ever made.
That game was incredible.
That game was amazing. I actually remember playing that with you when we were in PA. That game was so like, funny. I always loved the theme. What is it?
Girl, I just remember wanna have fun.
No, that's what it played in the little in the little 8-bit sound.
I gotta go on YouTube and watch this.
Yeah. Except nothing will
that
ever
game
beat.
Rocks.
That game Amazing. Does rock, but nothing will ever beat Balloon Fight, Dave.
Oh yeah, of course.
You know I'm obsessed with that game.
Best game ever.
Best game ever. But anyway.
So my next piece, and again, I didn't even realize this as I was making my list here, but how many of these things speak to what we've been talking about it not really capturing the proper characterization of Sully and Drake. But my next one, again, it's not one particular movie, but I was thinking about the writing of Shane Black, things like Lethal Weapon, The Nice Guys, these kind of buddy cop movies where...
It's a great movie, by the way, Nice Guys.
Oh, so good. So good. But these buddy cop movies where there's, you know, a solid script with some real good kind of lived in jokes and witty banter. And like, I think the worst thing this movie could have been... I did talk about, you know, Spider-Man, but still the worst thing this could have been is like the quippy Marvel kind of thing, which don't get me wrong. I love Marvel movies. They're great and all. But like that whole, like the Joss Whedon kind of thing of just like, everybody's just so clever and all that. That would have been the bad way of doing this. This feels more like real characters, like a Shane Black kind of thing, which is also quippy and everybody has their, you know, little jokes and everything, but it worked a little better. And I guess, again, even though they're not the right characters from the game, they do have chemistry together with each other. So that's
I'm amazed you feel that way, because I was just going to say I felt like there was zero chemistry between Mark Wahlberg and Tom Holland. That's really interesting. Did you stay for the second after credit scene?
Did I stay for the second one? I know I stayed
for... So he's in the prison, the brother's in the prison, right? And then there's a second scene with Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg.
I don't think I stayed.
I didn't stay either, just FYI, but I read about it online.
Uh-huh.
And apparently, like, the consensus between all the fans was, like, that was, like, the most chemistry they had on in the film.
Oh, when he shows up with the mustache. I did see that. And maybe I'm just remembering the last scene. I'm like, yeah, they had good chemistry.
I didn't see it, but I've read that, like, it was actually a really great scene, apparently.
Yeah.
And then people were, like, kind of wishing that they had more of that in the movie. That's interesting you bring that up, because I do have a completely different view. I actually thought they didn't have any chemistry, and Mark Wahlberg looked like, I don't know, he wasn't trying. He didn't. I don't know. But it's interesting you felt like they did have chemistry.
I did feel like when they had some good like joking back and forth between the two of them at times, but certainly that after credits scene is part of that. And Mark Wahlberg not on a roll lately. He had a moment in the 2000s where he was making some really great stuff, and lately
and doing a good job. Yeah, he was actually doing a good job, but not
lately. Did they show that trailer for, is it called Uncle Stu or something like that?
Yeah, whatever it was. Uncle Stu, whatever. Yeah, I know.
What is that movie with Mel Gibson? Oh,
are we on our last one? I think we are, aren't we?
I've got one more.
Okay, so. I have my last one here.
Okay.
And so, you know, I'm not going to say what everyone, I think, expects any of us to say, which is Indiana Jones.
Sure.
I am going to say Sahara with Matthew McConaughey. And nice. The reason is because of what I'm about to say about Indiana Jones. As I opened this up, I said, obviously, these movies, Tomb Raider, Uncharted, Sahara, National Treasure, are all informed by Indiana Jones and inspired by Indiana Jones. But Sahara is a film that's inspired by Indiana Jones that didn't feel like anything like Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. And so Uncharted is a film that's inspired by Indiana Jones that doesn't feel anything like Indiana Jones.
Sure.
And so that's a weak, thin line connection, but that is the connection that popped up, because as I was in the middle of the movie, I was like, Sahara. I was like, I'm watching Sahara all over again. I think universally people didn't like Sahara. I liked it. I thought it was fine. I thought Matthew McConaughey was actually pretty good in that movie for what it was. But I also am a big Matthew McConaughey fan. But it's something inspired by source material that doesn't get the source material.
Right.
Sahara just, it says, oh, let's make him an adventurer, an archaeologist, whatever you want to call it, and put him in a desert like Indiana Jones has been in a million movies, and let's have him find clues and find treasure and swing around things, but doesn't get the core value of Indiana Jones, similar to how Kingdom of the Crystal Skull doesn't get the core value of Indiana Jones.
Right,
So it has a very similar vibe to me, and that's the same thing that Uncharted in the movie form sort of missed for me. It didn't have whatever that charisma of Indiana Jones in those films has, and which I, by the way, felt in the video games, which I didn't feel in the film.
But before I go on to my last piece, do you think a sequel to this, because I mean it did very good numbers this weekend, and I think there's a pretty good chance we'll get a sequel. Do you think
90 million or something like that?
Yeah, do you think it could do a better job of capturing, like, do you think this cast, because we've basically been complaining about the cast the whole time, do you think this cast could capture what makes Nathan and Sully great?
So not to get blacklisted in Hollywood, but I will say this, I think they can do a better story for sure. I think you need a different director, but I don't think that's going to happen based on what I've read. Like, you're going to have the same director, okay? But I think you need a different director. I think you can at least do a better story. But I'll tell you this. I think Mark Wahlberg's the problem, in my opinion, in the whole thing. And part of it, listen, I'm not a Mark Wahlberg fan, but part of it also is that's a complete miscast. You're not solely.
Oh, totally.
So I don't know, but after all this complaining about the film, I kind of want to see a sequel. I'm not going to lie. Like, I really do. I would go and I'd be kind of excited and be like, yeah, this would be fun again. Like, at the end of the day, I'm glad I went. And so, could it be better? Yeah, but to your point, I don't know, because of the cast mainly would make it. You know, do always have that kind of issue.
You know what's so crazy about Mark Wahlberg being in this movie is this movie went through a lot of development hell, a lot of switches in directors and writers and stars. And at one point, David O. Russell, of all people, was supposed to direct it. And at that point,
which would have been great, I think.
Maybe, because he's not really an action director. Like, he's great. I love David O. Russell, but I don't know. It's such a weird choice. But
the chemistry would have been better.
He probably would have been. I don't really like Ruben
like
Fleischer,
actor's
but,
director, but
at that point, though, Mark Wahlberg was supposed to play Nathan Drake.
Nathan Drake, yeah.
He didn't age that much in the time to now be playing Sully. It just doesn't make sense.
So before you get to your final puzzle piece, just out of curiosity, because this is going to be asked anyway, who do you think would have been a great Nathan Drake?
God, I'm trying to think.
How about you do your puzzle piece and come back to it? Would that make it better?
Yeah, you know what?
Okay.
I'm going to go with one more piece, and then we'll close it up and get into some closing thoughts and talk about our potential casting for what could have maybe worked a little bit better. But last piece, kind of a jokey piece, not really like something that I think truly inspired this movie, but I just thought it needed to be said because Tom Holland keeps talking about how much work he did learning to bartend for this movie, learning to flair bartend. So Cocktail with Tom Cruise.
Nice.
That's my last piece here. Even though it only applies to like 4 minutes of the entire movie, he's making it out to be like it was like this big, big deal and a big part of like learning about his character and developing the character. So it's got to be on the list, I guess.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, I have nothing to say to that except yes, I agree. I 100% agree.
Awesome. So our finished puzzle here includes Tomb Raider Cradle of Life, Tomb Raider the Reboot, National Treasure Book of Secrets. Of course, we could get the whole National Treasure series in there as well. Tom Holland's Spider-Man, The Time Machine, Jackie Chan movies. Specifically, we could include Police Story, but plenty of the other ones as well. The Goonies, Shane Black films. We could specifically point to Lethal Weapon or The Nice Guys, Sahara, and Cocktail. Of course, Indiana Jones is on the overall list as well. Yep. You can't have Indiana Jones on the list. Yep. I also thought of Mission Impossible, but I didn't think we needed to like go too far down that rabbit hole. But there's, I think, some Mission Impossible influence here as well.
Great series.
Yep. But TJ, are there any other things about the movie itself before we get to some fan casting that you think you want to kind of mention before we close it up?
I think I already mentioned it. For me, it really sticks out to like really good actors. And again, I'm not saying that Wahlberg or Holland are bad actors in any sense of the word, because I mean, I think we take for granted as fans of film how difficult it actually is to be a good actor on film, or like to get something. You know, you're doing things in reverse order. You're doing things daily. You got an hour. You're sitting for 6 hours. Like, that's a really difficult thing. That's what makes great actors great actors. But Antonio Banderas, again, it wasn't like some Oscar-worthy role by any stretch of the imagination. But the charisma that man leaks, okay? And just taking, like, he probably had like 40 lines, Dave, maybe not even 30 lines in the whole film. And I felt like he was the most interesting part of the entire film. Speaks to just, and it's not Holland or Wahlberg's fault. The overall theme here is just the miscast of the film in general. Yeah. That's what sticks out to me the most. The miscast of the film and how a great actor, and I will say great, like Antonio Banderas, just stood out to me in such a small role.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. Antonio Banderas is great in this. I think you're right. Mark Wahlberg is not right for this role, and is one of the biggest problems with the movie. But with that said, let's talk a little bit about who maybe could have played these characters. And you know what's funny? Before we get to our picks, I think on the episode on the Uncharted fan film, we actually did this exercise as well. And I don't remember who we said at the time.
I'm sure mine has changed. So
yeah, it's got to. I mean, so much has happened in the last 5 years of movies.
Yeah.
Do you have anybody though in mind? Like right
100%.
Off the bat?
I have like a dead to rights guy that I think would have been perfect.
Okay.
I don't know how you're going to feel about it. I'll give you two, but this is my number one. Ryan Reynolds would have been, in my opinion, perfect for Nathan Drake.
Boy.
In film. Yeah, you're going to hate that. I knew it. But Ryan Reynolds, to me, has never been given the right source material. And I think he would have been great in this role. You know, I think I'm sure you and I said like Pratt and stuff like that, but he's aged out at this point.
Yeah.
I would say my number two would be Chris Pine.
Okay.
I think I really lean heavily into Ryan Reynolds. I think Ryan Reynolds would have been amazing. Now the people can't see this, but I can see your facial reactions when I said that. So clearly you disagree. And I would love to hear why in general. But yeah, those would be for Drake. Let's just stick with Drake. Those would be my two.
Here's the thing for both of those picks. I especially love Chris Pine. I think he's great. Ryan Reynolds is really fun in the right role. I mean, who doesn't love Deadpool, you know? I don't think he's always successful, but when he's great, he's great. But I feel like both of these actors would be better off in like an original adventurer character. And I feel
you
like
so you just don't feel like they're Drake. You just don't think they fit the Drake persona.
I don't think they fit. And I think they're too big. And I think that's part of the problem with Mark Wahlberg as Sully, is that he's Mark Wahlberg, and you just can't really separate it from the character.
So who would you pick for Nathan Drake?
I'm trying to think of somebody good. I'm honestly having trouble. I'll tell you the first name that came to mind, and I actually haven't seen him in too many things. I'm looking it up right now to see. Have you heard of Dylan O'Brien? He was in Love and Monsters.
Oh, I know Love and Monsters. Yes.
He was the main
star. Oh my God, he's
that.
A lead? He's a lead? First of all, I love that movie. I think we've mentioned that in the past.
Yeah, I think so too.
I love that movie and I love him, and that is actually a great cast. That's actually really good. I feel like physically he's a little bit on the smaller side, but then we had Tom Holland, so. That's a great one. Actually, yeah, that's fantastic. Love him.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. What about Sully though? Do you have anybody for Sully?
So, you know, I'm going to say two people here. One is going to maybe be like, I don't know if I'm being like a fair-weathered current big star, but Pedro Pascal, I think would be an interesting Sully.
He could definitely be good. I think he would be.
Yeah, I'm a really big fan of his before Mandalorian, all that stuff. I really love him, and I'm glad he's kind of blowing up right now and having his moment, because I just think he's a really wonderful actor. And so I think he would have done a good job with that. The other Sully, so hard, Dave. Old school Pierce Brosnan, I think could have played.
He's
done some interesting stuff.
If we're gonna like totally fan it up, yeah.
I mean, he's done some interesting stuff lately, so maybe he would do it Uncharted. But I think he'd be a good Sully at his age now, particularly. I think he'd be a good Sully.
Wasn't De Niro supposed to do it at one point?
Are you serious?
I'm serious. I think that it was like a rumored thing when David O. Russell was on board that he was talking to De Niro, because, you know, they worked together a bunch. Yeah. And that's so crazy movie. To think of that. Like,
that would have been it would have to have been a really solid script.
Obviously, they'd have to make it less physical, the role, but, you know.
But yeah, I think Pascal and I think Brosnan, it's completely different types of casting, by the way, obviously. But I think those two would have been an interesting Sully. I think in this version of Sully, Pascal would have been like really good.
Pascal's a great choice, actually. I'm not even like, I don't think I even need to go any further than that. I think he's a really great choice for that. I think you're onto something with that one.
Nice. We should make Uncharted 3.
Let's do it.
I'm so down. You can score it.
So I think that does it for Uncharted. TJ, it's been a while since the last time you were on for a regular episode, but lately I asked my guests for a recommendation of another movie they watched recently. You got one that you could recommend?
Why are you doing that to me, man? Why are you doing that to me?
I'm sure you can find something.
A recommendation of a movie I've seen recently. It doesn't have to be like a recent release, right?
No, just something you watched recently you want to recommend that maybe people haven't seen.
Love is Blind, Netflix.
Love is Blind, Netflix.
It's a dating show.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's getting
now I do
probably.
Hate you.
I don't have one on top of my head. That's what I've been watching with my wife.
All right. Fair enough. Maybe go seek out that Uncharted fan film that we talked about all those years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody watch that. Awesome. Well, TJ, thank you so much for coming back on the show. This was fun. I'm glad this movie finally exists. We've talked about it for so many years that eventually there would be an Uncharted movie. Hopefully we'll get you back for another thing at some point. Maybe that new Indiana Jones, maybe something before then.
That's 2023 now, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's next year.
I better not die before then. Oh, that's the only
allegedly.
Thing I'm looking for. Yeah, I want to see it. Can't wait. Antonio Banderas is in it.
Is he?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, that's the whole reason I see him. I'm on the new Antonio Banderas bandwagon. Yeah, I can't wait.
Wow. Okay. I'm excited. Can't wait.
Sorry, Harrison Ford, but Indiana Jones in a wheelchair is just not my thing. Anyway.
That's Serena over there.
And that's Naomi, and we are the hosts of Weird Mythic Podcast.
Yes, we are. Our show, Weird Mythic, covers stories about cryptids, which is what brought us together to create the show. But we also like to talk about anything paranormal and strange that happens in the world.
We post episodes every Sunday on different topics, and we would love to have more listeners. We're on all podcast platforms, and you can find us on all social media sites as well. Give us a listen, send us some personal stories to share on the show, and we will love you forever.
Yes, we will. We would love some personal stories, some cryptid encounters, and we hope that you listen and tune into the show.
You can listen to Weird Mythic Podcasts wherever you get your podcast fix.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about Uncharted with TJ Cross. Thanks to TJ for joining me. And yeah, I don't even remember what we said on this episode. We recorded it back in February, and it's just been sitting here waiting for me to record an intro and outro. And I'm going to have to listen to it. It'll be an interesting one. Yeah, so that does it for today's episode. If you like what we do here on Piecing It Together, I told you about the Patreon at the top of the show. You can check that out. Produced by David Rosen. We'd really appreciate it if you, you know, maybe considered subscribing over there. But most of all, just make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts. And you could also rate and review us. We'd appreciate 5 stars, whether that's on Good Pods or Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Podchaser. Drop that 5-star rating. We really appreciate that. And follow us on social media at Piecing Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. So let's close this thing out with a piece of music. And by the way, I'll be recording new episodes. I'm better now, and I'm looking forward to seeing some new movies and recording some new episodes. But we do have a few more in the can. They're on the Patreon right now. Episode on Men, on Jurassic World, Dominion. We got one on Bob's Burgers movie. I think a couple other things, too. So those will be trickling out over the next month or so to the main feed. But you can find them on the Patreon. And, you know, we always do that. We record episodes. Sometimes they fit in the schedule right away. Sometimes we hold on to them for a little while. So lots of Piecing It Together coming your way. Let's close this out with a piece of music. And I've played this one on other adventure-type movies before, but it's a good fit for that kind of thing. So I'm going to play a track called Journey, which was on a free album I released called Like Ashes. It's exclusively available on my Bandcamp, davidrosen.bandcamp.com. Completely free album. This song is on it. Hope you enjoy it. We'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.